All right, we're going to get right into it. I've had kind of a pretty busy, hectic week, so I didn't get much time to prepare, so it's kind of a retread on what I did at the nursing home on Sunday. So I apologize for that. Between Dad going away and I had to take care of my house and pack and move to, I'm living at his house for the week. Last night doing the chalk art, tonight work. So everything just coming together. So please pray for me because I'm kind of stressed out a little bit. But I do know everything works for good. And I do know that God takes care of me. And I do know that He looks out for me and He blesses me. And like Brother Keith was saying, we don't deserve these blessings. I don't deserve these blessings. So a lot of things that God has done in my life that I don't deserve at all. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. And thankful for you guys being here. And I'm thankful for you, Amina, for loving this church and loving us and appreciating what the church is. The church is here for each other. The church is here to lift each other up, to build each other up. When one person is down, when one person is going through something, the whole church should be with that person to help lift them up. That's what we're here for. We are here for each other. Because we are under attack every single day by spiritual things, by powers and principalities, and by our own flesh. And sometimes the battle with our own flesh is worse than the spiritual battles. So it's always a good thing to help lift each other up. If you've gone through something that she's going through, you can help her. That's why we go through certain things. We go through certain things so other people can learn from that. I'm sorry, this isn't my message, but like I said, I have the microphone now. So, but it's kind of something I want to talk about. I want to talk about friends. And I'm sure every single one of us has had friends in our lives. I'm sure every single one of us has had best friends. I'm sure at one point in your life, you've had somebody there who was just always there for you. You've had somebody there who always looked out for you. You've had somebody there who, you know, always helped you stay on the right path or helped you do the right thing. Or maybe if they saw you were doing something wrong, they would tell you about it and they would help you out. A friend that when you're going through something and you call them, even if it's in the middle of the night, they'll drop whatever they're doing and come be with you. That's a true friend. And I'm sure everybody has had one of those friends at one point in their life, whether you were a child, whether you were a teenager, whether you're an adult. One point in your life, everybody has had a friend like that. A friend is somebody who forgives you when you mess up. Eventually. A friend is somebody who still loves you when you mess up. A friend is somebody who will help you fix that problem whenever you create it, when you mess up. A friend loves you always. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves you at all times. When you have a true friend, they love you no matter what. Now, you guys might argue. There might be days where you have disagreements, but at the end of the day, you usually make up with that person. At the end of the day, you usually bury the hatchet. That's what a true friend is. But we all have also had that friend who seems like they take you for granted. Seems like that they're always out for just themselves. They're just trying for me, 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 me. They always want to take, 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 but whenever you need them, they make an excuse why they can't help you or why they can't be there for you. I'm sure we've all had those kind of friends before. But for some reason, it's in us to want to try to help them along, so we continue to be their friend. When I was growing up, I had a friend named Mike. Always these Mikes. I don't know what it is about Mikes. They're everywhere. Can't get away from them. He was my best friend. He was over at my house as soon as I woke up in the morning, and we hung out until it was time for bed. We hung in the house playing video games, or we were outside playing football or basketball, or, you know, causing trouble in the neighborhood. We were together every single day. I was there when his dad died. I watched it happen. And then he was never the same after that, but no matter what happens in our life, we have a friend named Jesus. We have a friend named Jesus who's always going to be there for you no matter what, who says that he will always forgive you, that you can mess up as many times as you want. You can, well, not as you want, but as you do, because it's in us. You can mess up over and over and over and over and over and over. In my case, over, 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 times a million. And he will always forgive you. And he will always love you. You can turn your back on him, be so far away from him, be completely absorbed into this world, and all you got to do is call on him, and he's right there. He drops everything. He's right there. Always, no matter what, Jesus is always there. I don't know about you guys, but I know how I am sometimes. And there's some times where I might be doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing. Or I might be doing something that, I mean, something small. Maybe my Bible reading isn't what it used to be. And sometimes, you know, we all get into that funk where we just open our Bibles up, whether it's in the morning or at night, just to get the reading done, and we don't really get anything out of it. We're just reading it. I'm sure I'm not the only one like that, I hope. But even then, you're far away from God. Even though we're doing the right things, there's times where, you know, you can come to church every service, you can pray every day, you can read your Bibles every day, but you're still backslidden. You might not think you are because you're doing the right things, but it's always about what your heart is. There's a lot of good godly men in the Bible that I can make examples of this. You have Moses, who God spoke to. Moses actually heard the voice of God, which blows my mind. The true voice of God. God spoke to Moses every day. But yet, Moses didn't listen to him when God told him to speak to the rock and he smote it. Little things like that, when you don't listen to God, that's a part of being backslidden. You have King David, who Apostle Paul says in the book of Acts, that King David was a man after God's own heart. King David, at one point, was so backslidden that he had an affair with another woman, felt so guilty about that, that he went to kill or get his that woman's husband murdered. But yet God says that David was a man after God's own heart. So it's not the faults that we have. It's not the sins that we do that makes us who we are. Because we're going to make those mistakes no matter what. And God, Jesus, being our friend, knows that, forgives us for every mistake that we've ever made, and he loves us. So that he doesn't judge us on our sins. He doesn't judge us. Well, and of course, I'm speaking to the saved here. I'm not talking to the unsaved. Because if you're unsaved, you're being judged for your sins. But the saved, he's not judging us for our sins. He's judging us for our hearts. In John 15:15, Jesus says that we are his friends. And because of time's sake, I'm not going to You guys don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. But in John 15:15, Jesus says that we are no longer servants, but he calls us his friends. That's pretty a powerful thing when you think about it. When you think about who Jesus Christ truly is, and sometimes I think we take him for granted, and I think we take for granted who he really is. When you think about who Jesus Christ really is, and he calls us his friend, that's pretty amazing. That should blow your mind. In John 15:13, Jesus said that a friend should lay down his life for friends. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. That's not the verse, so don't kill me. We are supposed to lay down our lives for your friend. That's what Jesus did for us, right? He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He laid down his life for us because he loves us, because he's our friend. But what I want to ask everybody here, which one are you? When it comes to Jesus, who are you? Are you the friend that's there for him at all, every time? Are you the friend that whenever he asks you to do something, you're there to do it? Whenever he calls upon you, can he rely on you to be there, to always be there for him, no matter what? Are you that kind of friend? Or are you the kind of friend that just is selfish and you do whatever it is for yourself? You just want things from him. You want him to give you things and you're not there to give things back. What kind of friend are you? And I'm speaking to each and every one of you, and I'm speaking to myself. Because this is something that we need to ask ourselves every single day. What kind of friend are we to Jesus? Because we know that he's our friend. He already paid the price. Right there on that cross, he paid that price. So what kind of friend are we to him? What are we doing for him? Are we witnessing? Because God wants us to witness. Are you reading your Bible? Because God wants us to hear his words. Are you talking to him every single day? Because God wants us to talk to him. Are you loving each other? Are you loving other people? Are you loving people in the world? Because this is the stuff that God wants us to do. And this, Apostle Paul says, is just your reasonable service. You know, people think that that is what a Christian is supposed to do. Yes, it absolutely is. But God says that's your reasonable service. We're supposed to do that. No matter what, it's supposed to be a habit to do that stuff. But we have it in our mind, and I think because we're Americans and we're spoiled, to be honest with you. But we have it in our minds that that stuff makes us a good Christian. We're supposed to be doing that every single day. That's something God expects us to do. He laid down his life for us. Are we going to lay down our lives for him? And that's what I want everyone to think about. What have you done for him recently? What have you done for Jesus? Not for me, not for this church, not for the people around you, but for God. Because is God number one or is he not? I know as Christians, we're going to automatically say when somebody asks you, oh yeah, absolutely, God's number one. But is he really number one? Because it's in your actions. It's not in what you say. Be doers, not hearers only. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love that song. So glad we sang that song. Oh, wait, I picked them. I was trying to get someone to laugh, but I guess it didn't happen. Maybe, hopefully that's a conviction. It's funny, because Sunday I was reading the Proverbs, and when I came across the verse, a friend loves at all times, it just made me start thinking about what a friend is. And that's why I came, you know, God kind of put this message upon my heart on what a true friend really is. And sorry, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, but Bethany's my best friend. Besides God, of course, that goes without saying, Bethany's my best friend. Talk to her every day. We text, like, as soon as we wake up. We text right before we go to bed. Tell her every single problem that I have. I tell her everything. There's nothing that she doesn't know about me. every single detail of my day, everything. God wants us to be the same way for Him. If Bethany would tell me that something happened, I would drop whatever I'm doing. I don't care what it is. I would drop whatever I'm doing. I would be there to help her. God wants us to be the same way for Him. And I know, again, I'm guilty of this as well. I know people, sometimes they look at me and they say, oh, he's the pastor's son and, you know, he witnesses and he does this and he does that. He preaches. So you guys assume that I'm walking with God. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I fake it. And I'm just being honest with you guys. There's plenty of times where I fake it. So I know what you're going through. I know, you know, I know how difficult the walk is sometimes because we do battle our flesh. Our flesh is our worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. Especially if you've lived out in the world before. If you were, you know, older when you got saved, I think it's a little more difficult because you lived through certain things. And those certain things usually come back and bite you. There's still things in my past that I'm still battling. You know, and I'm talking about stupid things. I'm not a smart man. I'm pretty dumb, actually. I really am. Thank you. I got one amen. I got one amen. But I look, and I'm just being real with you guys. I'm a dumb man. I haven't really told many people this. Bethany knows, but I didn't pass the ninth grade. I don't have a lot of schooling. Everything that I've learned is because God taught me, and I was eager to learn. But when I was younger, I wasn't eager. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to learn. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. So I'm not a smart man. I do, you know, because of my rough upbringing, have a little bit of street smart. So I do have a little that going for me, but I'm not book smart at all. There's things in this Bible that I stay away from because I don't know how to pronounce it. Seriously, and I'm just being honest with you guys. I'm trying to keep it as real as possible because I know, you know, there's been times where people tell me, they look at me and they say, oh, you're the pastor's son. You must, you know, be walking with God every single day. No, it's a struggle every single day. I have a past. It's a constant struggle. And every single day, I reach out to Jesus. And that's the only thing that keeps me going. The only thing that keeps me going is as soon as I open my eyes, the very first thing I do is open my Bible. Very first thing, because I know if I get out of bed, I'm not going to read that morning. So the very first thing I do when I open my eyes is I read my Bible. And then I pray before I even get out of bed. And then I text Bethany. But I always reach out to God first. Because without Him, I wouldn't be here. Without Him, I wouldn't be marrying this beautiful young lady. Without Him, I wouldn't have this amazing mother-in-law, soon to be. Without Him, I wouldn't have you guys as my friends. Without Him, I wouldn't have Amina sending me messages asking me if there's church tonight. Without Him, I wouldn't have Brother Keith. Well, never mind. Everything I have is because He's my friend. Beth, can you come up, please? So that's my little message. I just want you guys to think one thing, and I want this to be an everyday thing. You guys need to think this every day because I know I do. Jesus is our friend. Are we a friend back? And every day when we wake up, when we start our day, that should be the first thing on our minds: is Jesus our friend? And then if we can say, honestly, if you're honest with yourself and you can say no, because trust me, there's days where I can say no, He's not my friend because I didn't put Him first. But if you could be honest with yourself and you tell yourself no, it's just like that He will reach back to you once you ask Him to forgive you and you call out to Him because He's always there for you. I may not always be there for you, even though I'm going to try. The church might not always be there for you, even though we're going to try. Jesus will always be there for you. So are you always going to be there for Him? If you guys could please stand, and we're going to take a quick 1 minute invitation. So please, every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. This altar's open if you need to come to the altar.